everybody. Happy SummerSlam weekend. Welcome to this week's edition of the Kentucky Wrestle Report. I'm your host, Corey Guns. On this week's show, I've got a special interview with an act that you may see perform at a future SummerSlam in the next couple of years. They're one of the hottest tag teams on the independent scene in the area. They're homegrown from right here in Kentucky in Owensboro, and they're also the current IWA Mid-South Tag Team Champions. They are Carson and Cameron, the Murphy Boys. They will join me for a special interview today on KWR. But before I get to that, let me tell you about some big news coming out of a lot of different promotions here in Kentucky that are doing some big things here in the area coming up soon. Let's start with the WWA putting on a couple of big shows. First, on Saturday, August 18th, they will be in Central City at the National Guard Armory for WWA Showdown. And then on Saturday, September 22nd, WWA will put on Brace for Impact at the Owensboro Salvation Army Center. This show will feature appearances by The Monster Abyss, Crazy Steve, and also Joey Ryan. So make sure you check out that show and start getting your tickets for Saturday, September 22nd. Also, big news coming out of PTW, Primetime Wrestling in Paris, Kentucky. Larry D and his crew doing some big things. First of all, let me tell you, they've made an announcement that coming up soon, PTW will now be getting their own TV network. Every Sunday, 6:30 at the PTW Sportatorium there in Paris, their shows are now going to be taped and put online at PTW TV. And there's going to be more news coming out about that here soon. But also on Sunday, September 2nd, PTW will present their next DVD taping, which will be the Annie Kelly Memorial Show. But not only will it be a DVD taping, but it's also going to be an iPay-per-view. For the first time ever in PTW history, a DVD taping will be broadcast live on the internet on iPay-per-view. You can get more information about that on PTW's social media site. But like I said, Primetime Wrestling doing some big things there in the Lexington area. Shout out to Larry D and his crew. Really doing some big things for the Kentucky independent scene and also there in the Lexington area. Also, some big news coming out of OVW in Louisville. Believe it or not, OVW, you know, the old stomping ground, the old training ground for the WWE, they're getting ready to come upon their 1,000th TV episode. And at that 1,000th TV taping, they're going to have the finals of their grand tournament, which will be a 16-man tournament to crown the new OVW champion, which is featuring a lot of big names from the past and present, including this week it was announced that Tommy Dreamer will be a participant in that tournament. And again, the finals will be held at the 1,000th TV taping in Louisville, Kentucky at the grand tournament finale. And then finally, I want to tell you about UCW in Owensboro, Kentucky on Saturday, September 8th. They've got a huge show at the Owensboro Sports Center entitled Tribute Fit for a King. This show is going to feature meet and greets with Jerry the King Lawler, Ken Shamrock, and Jillian Hall, and also will feature a main event for the UCW Championship between Iron Man Rob Conway and former WCW and NWO star Buff Bagwell. A lot of big things going on around the state of Kentucky, not only with our local talent, but also with some big names coming in for different shows, different promotions. So make sure you guys are getting out. Check those promotions social media sites on Twitter and Facebook if for ticket information, but make sure that you guys are getting out and supporting Kentucky independent wrestling. And joining me on the Kentucky Wrestle Report, one of the hottest acts in the independent scene in the area right now, brother tag team of Cameron and Carson, and from right here in our homegrown Owensboro, Kentucky area, Cameron and Carson, the Murphy Boys. Guys, how you guys doing? Welcome to KWR.
How's it going?
Thank you for having us.
I'm great. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys coming on. Like I said, you know, we're going to get into, you guys are probably one of the hottest acts and the hottest names in our area right now, but let's kind of take it from the beginning and get to know you guys a little bit better. Where did your wrestling fandom kind of begin? It seems like everyone you talk to, it always starts off as, you know, just being a fan, you know, before they actually try to get into the business. So for you guys, was it something that has been with you as as a child? Was it something you got into more in your teenage years? Where did it start for you two as far as just being a fan of wrestling and getting hooked, you know, on professional wrestling?
Definitely as a kid, I would say.
Yeah, definitely.
I think anybody that was around us as kids could attest that we were obsessed very early.
Very early. Very, very early.
We broke a lot of furniture as kids, you know, just emulating what we were seeing on TV and different things like that. So that's really where it all started, I guess you could say.
So I know that you guys are, you know, a little bit younger. So are you, I guess, children of the Attitude Era? Was a little bit even past that, maybe a little bit before? You know, what are some of your earliest memories of seeing, you know, wrestling on TV, or maybe some of the characters that caught your eye and got you hooked?
Definitely Attitude Era for me. I'd say that was my earliest memory. Actually, maybe even a little bit before, probably right at the beginning of the Attitude Era. So as it was coming in, probably around late 96, I'd say, was when I really was paying attention. I was a huge WCW fan too, so.
Yeah, similar for me too. And we have a lot. Our uncles, actually, we have twin uncles, and they were very responsible for getting us into the wrestling fandom. That we used to watch old WCW tapes and all kinds of things, like way before our time, way before the network. So we were very open to those that type of wrestling too. And still, I'm still a huge fan of it. I love all of that time period as well.
Now, it's interesting you mentioned the tapes. I've talked before on here about that, you know, when I was a kid, and again, I'm a little bit older than you guys, but I can remember going to the movie store and renting, you know, whatever WrestleMania or compilation tape they had available. And that was kind of how I started started collecting some of my history of the WWF at the time, you know, looking back and watching old events and kind of starting to piece together some of the things that had happened before, you know, leading up to, you know, where we're now, what I was seeing on television as a kid. So for you guys, you know, growing up in Owensboro, did you get into, you know, the Monday Night Wars? Did you have access to both the WWF and the WCW? Or was it more, you know, watching tapes, you know, either from, you know, a video store? You mentioned your uncles, you know, maybe, you know, some tape trading that was going on. So was it more that element, or were you also able to get access, you know, to the live shows and, you know, that Monday Night War, you know, between the two companies?
Oh, definitely the war. I remember flipping back and forth between WCW and WWF. And even some ECW in there. We had an uncle that was really big on ECW, and he recorded all of our stuff. A different uncle, he recorded all of the taping. So we had a lot of the content. Of course, we were big fans of the video games growing up, and we had damn near any game that came through, we had it. So
yeah, basically, that's really the earliest things that I can remember as well. Probably I'd say channel switching and stuff. Cameron's 4 years older than me, so I don't really remember switching as much as I do going back and watching it on tape and things like that.
So once you guys, you know, got hooked at an early age, obviously it's a big part of your childhood. So talk to me about then, when did the decision come that you guys decided that you wanted to try to make this a career, that you wanted to try to break into the business? Kind of give me the, you know, who, when, and where of who trained you, you know, how did you break in? How did you even find out how to get into the business? Because I think now, especially, and you guys can talk about this, you know, I'm not sure how it was for you guys, but it definitely seems that nowadays just getting into the business is a lot more accessible, you know, being able to find a wrestling school or being able to find someone, you know, who will train you is a lot different than it was, you know, probably in the 90s and maybe even the early 2000s when the business was still kind of closed off and a little bit more hush hush. And you definitely had to maybe have a connection to find your way, you know, into the business. So talk to me about how you all made the decision to start training as wrestlers and how you kind of got, you know, found your connection to get into the business and to start training, you know, who trained you, all of that good stuff.
So we kind of fell into it. We kind of got into it by accident in a way. My brother and I, we both went to a show here in Owensboro ran by a guy named Bobby Wilson. And we went to the show, and after the show, we kind of just stayed around. We noticed that they didn't really have a whole lot of help packing up. So we just kind of helped them pack up, just being nice guys, not really for any specific reason. But and we kind of got linked up with Superb Scott Sexton, and just talking with him and everything. And he had asked if we had trained at any point or were interested in training, and kind of gave him that nervous, yeah, you know, like, we want to, we just never really knew how to make it happen. And I was coming off of a divorce and everything, so I was just kind of like in this weird life space, and it was a good little restart. And obviously things have gone a lot faster than we expected, but it's awesome. You hear a lot of the people talking about, you know, well, I paid my dues for, you know, 3 years wrestling in the same place and all this. And it's just been a blessing to get the kind of exposure and make the kind of contact that we have so early.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that as well. Growing up too, it was, I don't know how to explain it, but there was no like aha moment to me, at least. I think Cameron is in the same boat as well, as far as it was almost like we always wanted to do it. There was never a time where we were kind of like, it was almost just like, I have to do this, but I don't know how, if that makes sense. So, and it ended up, like Cameron was talking about, it came to us almost. So it was amazing how that ended up working out for our favor.
It's weird because, like, I remember as a kid too, like, sitting in church and just thinking about wrestling all the time. Like, that's a really vivid memory for me. not even so much as a kid, like, even as a teenager and stuff, just sitting in church thinking about wrestling. I know that sounds a little weird, but I remember that. I remember laying in bed and I'd be thinking about all these different things that I could do, and I never knew how it would happen. So it's awesome to actually be able to do it, kind of get a taste of it thus far. Only being a year into the business, it's of course a very small taste, but still a good taste.
So what year are we talking when you guys first started training?
Last spring?
Yeah, I think spring of 2017.
Yeah, that's when we started training. Our first match was August 5th of last year.
Oh, wow. So you guys really are just kind of fresh into this. And
we're babies. We're green.
Well, so talk to me a little bit then about, do you have any early memories or stories about this, the training process when you first, you know, just your first memories, or, you know, was it what you expected it would be? Was it something totally different, especially being so, I guess, you know, new into the business? Like I said, you guys are doing, you know, some big things with yourself, especially to be so early on in your training, or I guess, or in your careers. I know I've seen you guys, you know, live a couple times, and I would have never guessed that, you know, guys, you were only a year or so into this. So that's kind of taken me by surprise. So do you have any stories you could tell us just about that first, you know, couple training sessions, or, you know, how it was, you know, transitioning from training into, you know, getting your first match?
So I remember being very, very sore after it was probably the first couple of months. And we actually started training with our cousin as well. So he was in there with us, and he had a really good interest for it and everything, but he ended up moving and different. He had a lot going on with his job at the time, so he ended up moving. But that's who we started with. Our core group was kind of us three and then our trainer. And I just remember being very sore all the time. Like, I wondered how I was going to get my body to adjust to that all the time. And it was nice because it felt like a lot of it came natural. And then, of course, knowing your terminology going into that stuff, knowing the different moves and seeing different things and knowing just your normal spots that you run and stuff universally, that helped a lot. So getting into it, it was a little easier.
Starting off, Cameron actually started a little bit before I did. And so I mainly remember sitting on the outside of the ring, watching the drills, watching the bumps, things like that, and just being so excited to get in the ring and couldn't wait. And when I finally did, I had psyched myself up so much and had been practicing at home and things like that, that I was ready. And I kind of caught up to everybody very quickly. So I just remember that excitement.
So you were, Carson, you were like 17, right, when we started?
I was a few months before turning 18. So that's why I had to sit out, you know, because in Kentucky you have to wait until you're 18 to actually start training. So when a few months before, I had to sit out and just kind of watch and try to soak up as much as I could without actually getting in the ring and doing it. So I just remember that eagerness, that anticipation of finally getting in and being so ready for it when it actually happened.
So talk to me about then, you know, you mentioned that your first match, you're coming up or maybe just past your 1 year anniversary of your first match last August. So give me some memories of that. Where did your first match happen? Do you remember who it was against and, you know, some of your memories of maybe your first match? And then talk to me about when you guys felt like you kind of got your big break and kind of your breakthrough that maybe now led to, you know, kind of the fast track that you guys have been on lately.
So we started here in Owensboro working for, I don't know if you're familiar with Big B Pro Wrestling. It's a lot different now than it was when we were there, but that's initially where we had started. And we were there from our first match, August 5th, all the way through the beginning of January. You know, we had some differences and different things like that, and ultimately ended up leaving. And that was kind of our big break. But our first match, I remember being just so nervous, and I didn't even want to start the match. I had my brother start the match for me because that pressure was there for sure.
Yes, I remember just being so nervous going into it. And it was against the team by the name of Envious, Lincoln Mosley and Chad Stallings. And they had helped us with training a little bit, and so we were very familiar with them, but just being in front of a crowd and remembering things to do in a match or remembering your training, and I just remember being so scared that I couldn't even enjoy it almost. But looking back, for as far as first matches go, you know, they definitely helped us and guided us through it, and probably made it as good as it could have been for the time, you know, for it being our first match. And I think we had trained maybe 4 or 5, 6 months, something like that, before the match had started. So I just remember thinking of everything that we had gone over, everything that we had worked for, and just trying to remember and not psych myself up too much in front of the crowd so that things didn't get messed up. That was the main thing, was not wanting to screw up in front of everybody.
That's the hardest part to prepare for sure, is the crowd, because you don't have that when you're training. You kind of got to learn that on the fly, and being able to work a crowd and dealing with all the different reactions and, you know, listening to them and different things like that. It's a whirlwind, and, you know, being able to do that successfully is a totally different thing. Like I said, you just can't really – you can prepare for it to an extent, but – you really can't grasp it until you've got it. And there's so many different crowds out there that appreciate so many different things. It's crazy. It's, you know, the crowds here are way different than they are up north, and different things like that is just things you got to take into consideration. And we had no idea the magnitude and how important that was until now, really, where that's a big factor coming into things. And when you're wrestling guys like the Jim Nasty Boys and things like that, you know, they're over no matter where they're at. And to compete with that is totally different. So
is there anything that you all can kind of attribute to a lot of your early success? You know, is it simply, you know, once you guys got started, was it just kind of pounding the pavement and getting yourself booked in different areas? Has it been social media awareness? Has it been word of mouth, you know, by, you know, other promoters kind of talking you up around the area after some of your matches? Is there anything, any, you know, one or two things that you guys might point to and say, you know, this has been a big reason why we've had such, you know, good early success in your careers?
I'd say it's a little bit of all of that.
Yeah, I agree.
The social media. Social media is a really big part of it, especially these days. Yeah, another big part of it is just hopping in the car with guys and making those connections that way. Because you got guys like Teddy King that's really been a big proponent of that and letting us ride with
Larry D and Maria.
Yeah.
Of course, Scott Sexton and a few others that I'm sure we're missing. But those are just off the top of my head.
Derek Neal.
Yes, Derek Neal. Yeah, definitely.
Getting in the car with those guys and just learning the knowledge too, because a lot of them had seen us work at some point, and that's kind of what would initiate the invite for us to ride with them. But just different things like that, and really being, having your ears open and mouth shut is a big thing, and just staying humble, because you have to listen, you have to be able to communicate. And when you got guys like Derek and Sexton and things, and Teddy's a hot act right now, just about anywhere. Things like that is big, because, you know, they've made more places than we have, and they've experienced a little bit more. So being able to take that knowledge in and then apply it is probably the biggest thing that we can do to build on what we've got going on. So they've been really good as far as just being good brothers to the business and helping us out.
Yes, definitely. Basically, all in all, we owe a lot of it to people who have been in the business a long time or a while and see something in us and invite us along, on, like you were saying, invite us in the ride, and vouch for us for promoters and things like that, and critiquing our work and things like that. So we owe a lot of it to people ahead of us who I guess I've just wanted to help the younger generation.
For them, it's awesome that they do that for us, and you know, all we need is somebody to open that door for us, and then once they open the door, let us come in and do our thing, and you know, it goes from there. Sometimes you rock it out, and sometimes you have a stinker. That's life, and you can't really take no for an answer. I've learned that. Two people that really, really put that into my head, that no isn't always a bad answer, would be Brutal Bob Evans, and Timmy Lou Retton, and White Mike, the Gym Nasty Boys. They both were like, if you get told no, you get told no, but the worst you can do is reach out, try, and give it what you got, and just don't burn the bridges. You never know where you'll be back, even if you didn't necessarily leave on great terms, and just different things like that. If they weren't impressed the first time, you really never know. So it's always a good thing to at least try, and that's all you can do. You know, go in with a good mindset and rock it out.
Now, obviously, you guys are brothers. So when you broke in to the business, was the idea always to, you know, come in as a tag team and really make that your specialty? And I ask that because it seems like even in the mainstream product now, you know, WWE, even New Japan, you know, TNA, whatever you watch, tag team wrestling has kind of taken a little bit of a back step. You don't see a lot of true tag teams. You know, you don't have a lot of the, you know, Legion of Dooms and the Hart Foundations and the Nasty Boys, you know, teams that are true teams. You see a lot of single guys that just kind of get paired up and are a tag team for a couple months, and then they end up splitting back up. You know, so in today's product, you know, maybe other than, you know, a team like the Usos or maybe the Bludgeon Brothers, you know, you don't see a lot of teams that really come in together and are really making that their specialty and really that art form of tag team wrestling. So when you guys broke in, you know, I know obviously with you guys being brothers, but was that always the idea that you were going to come in as a tag team instead of trying to come in as individuals on your own?
Definitely. That's how, at least how we saw it.
Yeah.
And now more so we're getting a lot of singles work, especially up at IWA. So it's a little bit of a different dynamic than what we've been used to, but It's fun. It's different, but ideally the tag team stuff, that's where the attraction mostly lies. And that's where, that's our bread and butter. That's what we kind of grew up in and appreciate the most in what we do now. So.
Right. I definitely think it was always, cause we grew up watching the Dudleys. Our favorites were the Hardys and things like that.
So. Yeah.
When we finally got in, we were like, we've got to be a tag team. We're brothers and we're obviously around the same areas a lot. So, you know, why not? And I think that's where we, I think that's where we shine the most as well.
How does being brothers affect your all's dynamic, both in the ring and also out of the ring, you know, on the road? Does it, you know, help with the miles? Does it, do you sometimes run into that issue of you're around each other so much that sometimes you just want to break from each other a little bit? You know, does it, you know, is there some pros and cons to, you know, being brothers and being in the business together? And how does that, like I said, affect your dynamic both with your in-ring work and also outside of the ring as well?
We're brothers, so we communicate as brothers typically do.
Right.
We have disagreements sometimes and things like that, but it's never anything out of hand or anything of the sort. But like I said, we are brothers, and we have brotherly conversations sometimes that can get a little interesting. But overall, I mean, we know what makes each other tick. We know how to communicate with each other effectively, and it does definitely help with the mileage and stuff too, because no matter where we go, we're always splitting the cost. So being able to do that, it that helps out a lot. And just having somebody there with you too is nice, because I'd hate to make those trips alone. It just, even when Carson falls asleep, you know, in the car or whatever, it still gets a little boring at times. So
yeah, and I know a lot of times, like, as far as wrestling, actually wrestling goes in ring, there's a lot of times we'll just kind of know what the other is going for just because we've always been together, I guess, and we don't even have to say anything or speak to each other. We just kind of know, just kind of have that
telepathy,
I guess you could say. So
it is a nice thing to have. We can kind of look at each other and know what each other is going to do before we even do it. So some of our go-to spots, if we're, you know, in the ring and we're just kind of walking and talking at that time, we know what we're doing without having to say it. So that's a pretty cool thing.
Now, you mentioned that you guys are getting a little bit of more singles action, you know, in some of the spots that you guys are hitting right now. So do you guys see some singles runs in y'all's future, or is the goal right now to kind of conquer the tag team scene and then, you know, maybe pair off into your own things?
As for right now, the tag stuff is obviously, that's what we're hot on and things like that. But I've started to find a little groove, and he has too, in singles action. And it's cool because our style and how we move is, we're different, which I think is cool with us being a tag team, but also cool individually, is that we have two different styles in a way. Carson's more of a brawler and different things like that, and I do a little bit more. I'm not super lucha, but I do a little bit more acrobatic, I guess you could say, type stuff. And Carson's more walk up to you and punch you in the face type of person, so he's a little more technical with it, so to speak. So it's different, and it's cool just kind of seeing, you know, I watch his matches and he watches mine, and we critique each other a little bit, and of course we pick on each other in an instance too, you know, who had the better match, and we'll poll the locker room sometimes and things like that, but it's all in good fun. And regardless, we enjoy it, and no matter what we do, whether it's singles or tag, I mean, we're coming in to prove something. We're coming in to dominate and show, you know, that we're legitimate competitors in whatever setting you put us in. So
right. And I think a lot of that comes just, of course, being brothers too. You're going to have that sibling rivalry. Who did the best? Who's going to be the best? You know, things like that. But I think that helps us in a way too, because it pushes us to be better and things like that in our singles matches. So, and like you were saying, we have different styles as well. So, if you see the Murphy boys are on two different matches on a card, you know, you're still not going to get the same thing in both matches, you know. So I think that brings a different dynamic and gives us both separate personalities as well, which helps us both.
In real life, we do have, I mean, two, we're similar with our humor and the things that we enjoy, but at the same time, our personalities are a little bit more different. I'm a little more impulsive. I do things kind of on the fly a lot, and Carson's more of a thinker. He kind of thinks about things a little more quiet. I'm very outspoken, and sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes a bad thing, but we do right. Definitely do have two different personalities.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Now, I mentioned, you know, as I said, it seems like, you know, tag team wrestling is kind of maybe having a little bit of a resurgence, you know, both in the independent scene as well as the mainstream. You know, you're seeing, you know, even in WWE and things, a little bit more of a focus on true tag teams. A little bit, like I said, you've still got some of your, you know, hodgepodge teams, but maybe a little bit more focus there on some actual units and tag teams that are forming. You mentioned that the Hardy Boys were a big inspiration or influence on you guys early on. Is there anyone that you watch from the current product now that you take some inspiration from or that kind of influence you? Or do you harken back more towards the days of the Hardys and the Dudleys and maybe even, you know, the 80s and 90s where the tag team divisions and some of the mainstream products were a little bit stronger?
I'd say the current product, and it's probably the most common comparison, but I'd have to say the Usos. You just watch how they vibe as brothers and stuff, and it's really cool, you know, seeing their dynamic and how they do things. And we take a lot from that, but our favorite stuff to watch collectively would probably be some of your older stuff. So stuff from like your WCW Saturday nights back in the day and things like that. That's because we really try to innovate on the old school. So you just don't see a lot of it anymore. And we definitely got an appreciation for a lot of the creative spots that you see on the independents now with guys like Myron Reed and Mickey Midas, you know, the Brotherhood and different things like that. There's a lot of really neat things you see. Rockstar Pro, you see the Chris and all of them, you know, doing a lot of very creative things. But we like to take the old school stuff and put a spin on it and kind of give it that Murphy Boys flavor, so to speak. And it kind of gives that wow factor, like, man, you know, these guys are different. They do something a little bit different, a little more old school. And our uncles that really got us watching wrestling in the first place were really big on the old WCW, 1992, anything. And that's really where it all kind of started for us. So that's, in a way, it's almost paying homage, but it feels good and it's just different. It's cool kind of having an old school vibe, especially because kind of our gimmick in a way is that old school. You know, we come out to Wu-Tang and we have the Murphy Boys emblem. It's the Wu-Tang symbol flipped upside down. So we're just real big on the old school, so to speak.
Right. And like you were saying, in a way, it's kind of a lot of things. It's almost like old is new. Take something. We would go back, watch some tape, study, you know, people who were successful and think, how did they get there and things like that. And then add our own Murphy Boys flavor to it and make it our own. And I think a lot of people, it's lost on a lot of people, the simple things. You know, the business has evolved so much and it's definitely gotten quicker. And I think there's an appreciation for both. And we want to be able to bring both no matter where we are.
What do y'all, just in y'all's opinion, what do you think kind of caused that time where tag team wrestling was not, I don't want to say not as popular, but like I said, where you didn't see your tag teams and you didn't see your real teams that come along, and tag team wrestling maybe wasn't as featured on shows, you know? And because I thought y'all made an interesting point, y'all talking about what what was, you know, old is new again, that, you know, there was a time where, you know, tag team wrestling wasn't really a featured part of a lot of wrestling shows, both from the independents, you know, on up to, you know, WWE. And so now it would make sense that, well, by being a tag team, that's how you're going to stand out, because there aren't a lot of teams around as much anymore, you know, as there was in the 80s and 90s and, you know, even into the Attitude Era. So do y'all have, you know, any thoughts just in general, just, you know, what do you think kind of caused tag team wrestling to not be as featured on wrestling? And now it seems like, you know, like you all said, now it's a way to stand out is by being a tag team. You're going to stand out and be unique because it's something different that people haven't necessarily seen a lot of recently.
I think a lot of the nostalgia kind of burnt out and watching the TV product, because I didn't really follow the independent, you know, until just a couple years ago. So what we were seeing on TV was just a lot of randomness, and I think that's kind of what put it on a little bit of a back burner for everybody, with, you know, the random switching in and out, and some of it didn't really have a much of a story to it or anything like that. It was just, it was different. And now you're seeing so much creativeness coming back to the game, and you're seeing different personalities, like vastly different personalities coming together, and somehow it ends up being magic. It worked. So for me, that's what kind of made it more entertaining to watch again. And of course, now you got some guys in the indies that are just straight killing it, like the Young Bucks and so on, that are doing big things with it and making it, you know, really neat to watch again. So I'd say that's probably what got it going good for me, was seeing that difference in coming back up on it again, and the interest. You're seeing a little bit more of a reason to bring some of these people together because they're different.
Right. And I think a lot of when it kind of went out of style, like Cameron was saying, it's in wrestling, there's almost kind of, in a way, a trickle down effect sometimes. And so when there's not a lot of tag teams on TV, it's almost like it's not cool. And so I think the resurgence of tag teams has a lot to do with the independents kind of making their own, a name for themselves in tag team divisions and things like that, if that makes sense. People like the Young Bucks and the Briscoes, they really brought it back to life. And then, of course, it almost went back up to WWE, and now they still try to have a very strong tag team division as well. But I think tag teaming in general, it's a lot different from singles. And I think it's definitely something that people want to see a lot of times. So I think it's amazing and very good for us that it is cool to be in a tag team, and tag team wrestling is cool again. And that goes for a lot of different things. The broader wrestling is, the better to me. Great tag team divisions, great singles divisions, of course, great women's divisions. That's all great in the grand scheme of things.
Absolutely. I think, you know, as you all mentioned, I think the Young Bucks, that's a great example of, you know, guys that took something, you know, as a team and made it unique and made it their own. And, you know, that it doesn't necessarily have to be just a, you know, a single star or singles wrestler to, you know, have an impact. So tell me, you know, what you guys have got going on here coming up. You know, what promotions are, you know, you all hitting up, not only in Kentucky, but I know that you guys are really starting to branch out now. Like I said, you guys are really starting to make a name for yourself in the independent scene. I know that you guys have done some shots. I've seen you guys personally live do some spots for the WWA and PTW. So what promotions are you guys kind of hitting up big here lately, not only in the Kentucky area, but, you know, also expanding out into other states and territories as well?
Definitely want to give a shout out to Larry D at PTW, because we'd love to work with him more. So I think we're really going to try to get that into the schedule more, because it's a blast up there. He's a hell of a guy just overall. I mean, definitely been a huge help to us. And he pays attention. He pays attention to everything, and he knows what it's like to grind and go get it. So definitely shout out to PTW. We'll be up there a lot more hopefully soon. Here in town, UCW, of course, Universal Championship Wrestling. Trying to think of who else. We've got, of course, IWA. We're there every week, sometimes twice a week, you know, depending on that. And there's a lot of huge stuff coming up with IWA. So for anybody that's listening, and definitely pay attention to that, because we're about to start making some heavy rounds in a lot of new areas coming soon. So definitely pay attention to that. We've got some phone calls too of places. I spoke with somebody today that's going to be big, so I can't speak on it now, but eventually you'll be seeing it on posters and stuff very soon. James Carver down in Franklin, Kentucky for New South Championship Wrestling, AWA. He's been awesome in helping us out and putting us with talent and different things like that. So a lot of new stuff coming up. We've been traveling a lot more and getting out there and just making it work. Somehow we're doing it and it's working. So
and you guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys just recently captured the IWA Mid-South Tag Team Championships, correct?
Yes, we did. We defeated the Gymnastics Boys.
Yes. Very, very, very thankful for those two guys. And even in defeat, they've taught us so much in and out of the ring, and we're very thankful for that.
What has been your experience, or what is your opinion on the Kentucky independent scene compared to some of the areas abroad? You know, you guys are expanding, you know, again, you know, I mentioned, you know, IWA Mid-South. You know, I'm sure you guys have been across to some other states here and there. And, you know, there was a time when Kentucky didn't necessarily have the best reputation for independent wrestling. There was a time when it was really, really good. And then it seemed like we went through kind of a down period where, you know, like I said, that we didn't, as a state as a whole, didn't have the best reputation for independent wrestling. Now it seems to be back on the upswing, you know, thanks to guys like you all. You know, you mentioned Larry D, you know, promotions like UCW, things like that. OVW obviously is going through an ownership change with Al Snow. So we've seen some changes there. But just with that, you guys have been around, how would you compare Kentucky's independent scene to some of the other states that you've been to?
It's definitely on an upswing. You can feel that unity where everybody's trying to come together and for the most part, come together and do big things and bring that attention back this way. So that's refreshing. Super thankful to be a part of it. And we were just a proponent of getting in the right place at the right time. And I mean, we're just blessed that we got in when we did, and we had the people there that were willing to help us and talk to us and teach us and let us ride along with them, because there's so much great talent coming out of this place. And it's crazy. It really is. You just can't beat it. You got guys like Derek Neal that's been doing stuff for Ring of Honor, and he's been one that's been really big on just talking to us and really helping us out. And Larry doing stuff with Impact, and you want to see all these guys do well. You want to see everybody take off and go do big things with this. And to think that that's a reality from, you know, all of us at one point, you know, wrestling on the couch, or, you know, some guys, you know, as kids wrestling in the backyard, or whatever they chose to do, it's amazing to see what all is going on right now. And you got some places doing TV tapings, and Larry D, he just got his PTW network going, and a lot of that stuff is just—it's awesome. It's awesome to see how much wrestling there is, and seeing how many people that, you know, haven't been fans of wrestling for years, you know, since they were kids back in the '80s or whatever, and now they're into it, and it's cool. It's cool.
Right, and there's so many, like Cameron was saying, there's so many people here who want to see others succeed, and I think that's such a great mindset for everybody, because and if everybody has that mindset, then everybody wins, because we're all supportive of each other. And we've been very blessed to, like Cameron said, to be right place, right time. I know so many so many great guys and wrestlers that were much better than we are and just never got their huge break because the wrong place, wrong time, or right place, wrong time, vice versa, you know. And so far, that's been our luck, is just been right place, right time. We're very, very, very blessed as far as that, and very blessed to have a lot of help as well. And it's awesome to see Kentucky doing as well as doing right now, and I hope that it continues this way.
All right, guys. Well, before we wrap you up and get you out of here, I want to give you guys it's a segment on KWR we call the three count. I'm just going to give you three kind of just rapid fire questions, and you can answer them either individually or together, and just kind of give me the first thing that pops into your mind. All right.
Okay.
Number one, if you could pick your dream tag team opponent, who would it be? And it could be from the past or present. If you could have kind of your dream tag team match, who would your opponents be?
Oh, man, we get asked this all the time.
Yeah.
man.
It's got to be the Hardys. Really, it's got to be.
I was going to say the Hardys, the Usos is a close second.
The Usos are close second, yeah.
Just because of the brother thing, like that's, I see that being an all-around attraction, and I don't know, that would be a blast to me.
Now, would it be the Attitude Era Hardys, or would it be the Broken Universe Hardys?
Oh, definitely Attitude definitely. Era. I like the Broken, but the Attitude Era was my favorite.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'd have to agree with you all both there on that incarnation of the Hardys. I do like the broken Matt Hardy stuff, but I don't think you can beat the Attitude Era Hardys.
Right. And then they can reinvent themselves. It's so hard to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I said especially, and now it seems like Matt, I don't know if you all have been keeping up with it, but it seems like Matt may be kind of winding it down here, maybe kind of close to retirement. I think he's dealing with an injury, and he's kind of tweeted some things that makes it seem like he may be close to moving on.
Right.
It's sad, but it doesn't hit us until now how long they've been in the business and how long they've done it and, you know, how much they've really done. And it's really now starting to sink in that they've been doing it for almost 30 years, and that's a long time to – that's a lot on your body to be doing that for so long. So,
right.
You know, props to them for being able to do it so long at such a high level and taking the risks that they did to, you know, make tag team wrestling what it is. I feel like it wouldn't be what it is without the Hardy Boys.
Right. And as a fan, you know, that sucks to hear, but as a person and as a wrestler, you know, I want everybody to be as safe and as healthy as possible, because at the end of the day, you got to go home to your family, you know, and doing this while hurt or doing this while you're slighted in any way, there's a good chance you're going to lose your love for it. And I hate that for anybody too. You know, wrestling is such an amazing sport, spectacle, whatever it is to you. And to lose that love over, you know, injury or anything like that, I'd hate to hear that for anybody.
Yeah, I think they're definitely, you know, a team, both, you know, both Hardy Boys, Matt and Jeff, I think you're definitely, fans will be able to look back and say that they absolutely gave everything that they could, you know, to the wrestling business, you know, both physically and otherwise.
Definitely.
All right. Number two, what has been your favorite event or venue that you've wrestled at?
Ooh, venue-wise? Definitely the Owensboro Sports Center, just because the size, the fans, the layout, the acoustics, everything about it is, and the history of it, thinking of all the people that have been through there and wrestled there and things like that, makes you feel good being there. Makes you feel like you really, you know, have accomplished something.
And having been our hometown too, that's just, it's something, we went to, you know, college basketball games there and carnivals there and Harlem Globetrotter games there, stuff like that, and to be able to perform in that same arena is just amazing. It's something that, as a kid, to fulfill that kind of dream is awesome, and the guys that have helped make it happen, more than thankful for them.
Yes, definitely.
All right, and number three, what is your favorite match? Not necessarily that you've had, but, you know, your favorite match to watch or, you know, growing up as a kid, you know, whatever it may be. What's been your, what would you say is your favorite match?
Ooh. Carson, I'm going to let you answer that one first.
There's so many. Wow, there's so many. I'm a big, big, big fan of the work between the recent work, actually, of Kenny Omega and Okada, of course. I think they really changed the game with that. And it's hard to even compare other things to that just because it was so different, the matches that they've had. But looking back, wow, I was a big fan of – I can't really say one just because there's so many, but the Shawn Michaels and Undertaker matches, the back-to-back WrestleMania ones, and then, of course, the Steamboat and Flair trilogy, definitely. I can't really name one out of those, but just all those matches, all those rivalries, I could watch them all day and really restore that love and passion for the business. And I could attribute those matches to that for sure.
I would definitely say for me, what made it seem so real was it's got to be a split between Triple H and Shawn Michaels, because at that time, that's when I was really soaking it all in. And you know, I had my friends at school telling me, oh, that's fake, you know, this, this, and this. But then when you see that, you see, you know, two best friends turn on each other and do the kind of damage that they did to each other, it was like, man, there's no way. And between that and then Rock and Austin, you know, that was what did it for me as a kid. Like, man, this is crazy. You know, the things that they do and you know, whether or not you believe them or didn't, it was crazy. It was crazy to watch and think, like, man, these dudes are laying it out there and killing it. So I'd say I can't pick just one, but if I have to pick, like, a series, it would definitely be Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
All good choices there. I don't think you can go wrong with any of those. Well, fellas, tell us, tell our listeners where they can find you guys on social media, you know, where they can link up with you on Twitter, any other social media you guys have, you know, give us some plugs and promotions where we can kind of follow you guys at.
It's pretty easy. We got Twitter and Instagram. You can follow us at Cameron Murphy MB and Carson Murphy MB, MB for Murphy Boys. And then, Facebook, we got the Murphy Boys official fan page, of course, so you can just look that up, type in the Murphy Boys, it'll be the first thing that comes up for you.
Yes, definitely. But
yeah, really, that's it. Of course, we got our sponsors, Can't Stop Pursuing. They've been huge in helping us out and reaching out more, doing more community work with them, and trying to make a change for, you know, a lasting and change outside of the ring is big for us, so that's, I got to give a shout out to them for that as well.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. And any shows that you guys got coming up, maybe coming up in the month of August or September that we can check you guys out at, maybe here locally in the Kentucky area?
Of course, you got the UCW show here in Owensboro at the Sports Center. That'll be September 8th. You got Jerry Lawler, Ken Shamrock, Buff Bagwell, a lot more to be announced as well, so stay tuned.
We will be facing the former NWA tag team champions, the Heat Seekers, so I'm very pumped up for that. Can't wait.
Yes, you got Crazy Steve also there, and then of course for IWA you got TPI coming up in Indianapolis, not too terribly far, but definitely worth the drive to go there.
Definitely worth the drive.
Yeah, that'll be coming up in September, the 21st and 22nd. So definitely, definitely, definitely recommend that. That's your best on the indies there coming up and doing their thing. So that's a big one to plug. The seats for that one are going to go quick. So pay attention, get your tickets, be there. That'll be worth it. That'll be well worth the investment and the time and the drive if you got to make the drive. So
Yeah, we've talked about the Ted Petty Invitational on the show before. You know, going to be in Indianapolis. Are you guys taking part in the tournament, or are you guys going to be doing a tag match up there? Do you know even necessarily what your involvement's going to be with that yet?
Not sure yet. Nothing set in stone, but there are talks that the Murphy Boys might possibly be in action up there. So
we aren't in the tournament.
Right. Yeah. Not in the tournament. All the entrants have been announced for that. But if there's an out of tournament match, there is a possibility that you could catch us there. So stay tuned for that, because I can almost guarantee that. Actually, I can guarantee that if it is going to be booked, it's going to be a big match. So.
All right. Well, we'll leave it at that. And a little teaser there for everybody. Be on the lookout for that. The Murphy Boys may be doing something big at the TPI this year, right?
There you go. A little teaser.
All right, guys. Well, I want to thank you guys so much for being on the show. Good luck to you guys. I hope you guys continue to have great success. Keep doing y'all's thing. And like I said, appreciate you joining us on the Kentucky Wrestle Report. That's Cameron and Carson, the Murphy Boys. Guys, again, appreciate you coming on with us.
Thank you for having us.
It was an honor.
Anytime.
All right, that'll do it for this week's edition of the Kentucky Wrestle Report. I want to thank the Murphy Boys again for coming on with me this week. Make sure you guys are following us on Twitter at KYWrestleReport, and you can follow me at Corey Guns. Be sure to also check out my weekly articles for thechairshot.com. This week, my article gives you my thoughts and opinions on the Dave Meltzer, Peyton Royce situation from this past week on Twitter. And I got a feeling that my opinion may not be the most popular one out there, but I'd love for you guys to check that out and give me your thoughts and feedback on that. And make sure you check us out every weekend right here on the Chair Shot Radio Network with the Kentucky Wrestle Report podcast. Appreciate you guys tuning in, and we'll see you next week on KWR.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.